Right, Mrs. Woodward, how long have you been connected with Sonning and Sonning High?
Well, we've lived here for just over 40 years.
Right. What brought you here?
Well, we were living in Australia about 7.5 years before we came here. And I was getting awfully homesick and children were beginning to go to school. And I thought, now is the time to go back. So we sold up, booked our passage, and were ready to come back. Unfortunately, this coincided with the devaluation of the pound. Consequently, we lost a quarter of all our money, plus all insurance. Insurances were devalued. Anyway, it was tough, but we survived. And we went to live with my mother, just down the river here.
Where did she live?
Just by down between the two bridges along the river. And we were there for 6 weeks. And our idea was to have bought a small holding with maybe a caravan park or a bed and breakfast place. My husband's passion was gardening. He was only interested in gardening of any description. So I was there with my mother and looking after the children, and Noel went off each weekend looking at these places which were advertised for sale in Devon and Cornwall and such places. But he never found anything that he liked. And then I thought, you know, we're getting a bit cramped at my mother's, and I saw an advert for a job at Sonning Mill, which came together with a Tide cottage. I thought, just the place for us. Breathing space, we can decide what we're going to do. So we moved in here. But also at the time, it was a Tilbury Dock strike, and we'd got all of our worldly goods, which were left over from Australia, in 5 huge packing cases, and they were held up at Tilbury Docks. So my long-suffering mother lent us the essentials, pots and pans and a bed and whatnot, and we came here, no furniture. We actually had 2 oil drums here with a builder's plank on the top, and that was our table. And we sat on the floor around the table. And gradually we got bits and pieces. The crates came from Tilbury, and I, being keen on antiques, I started to buy 1 or 2 little bits and pieces that I thought go with this place. Then the mill, this went on, and 2 years quickly passed, quite quickly. Then we heard that the mill was selling up, and all the cottages were being sold. Now, when we first came here, there were 30 houses in Sonning, and 20 of them were either owned by the mill or the farm. I think the mill owned 16 and the farm owned 4. Anyway, they were all those 16 of the mills were being sold. And the one we were in, this one, a half of one, it was 2 cottages. We were living in half of in one. They were sort of tied cottages. And they went as one lot, so we had to buy the 2, which was fine, because we quickly converted it into one house. And the children went to school, they got involved in the school, and I used to walk up to Sonning Primary School every morning and fetch them back every afternoon. I'd gathered 1 or 2 other children as well. We used to march up and down with the local children. And I got involved in the PTA committee and various things. And also in life at Sonning High, which we found was pretty good, because everybody had known everybody. It was a real small community. For instance, at Christmas, every year, over at Orchard Lodge, Jill and Ray Myers, I don't know whether you remember them.
No, I don't think so.
Ray was the farm manager. And they used to give the most fantastic New Year's Eve parties. I used to do Christmas Eve lunch. And next door, you remember Cynthia, next door, we always had New Year's Eve party in the thatched barn. Also, the thatch barn was used for parties all the year through. We had visiting theatres. Her young William, her son, was interested in travelling theatres, and they'd come. The children, you'd put on their own shows and charge us all a penny or tuppence admission. They got all the residents in to go and watch their shows. And it was lovely. It was a real community. And this is why I thought, you know, I don't want to move away from Sonning. It got really intricated with it. And the children got good roots. David went from primary school to Blue Coat School to Reading University. So he felt really dug in. Oh, Sonning Primary School. This is a sign of the ages. Tom Feek was the headmaster there, and they had a swimming pool. And dear Tom, he used to drive the little girls down and help them change their clothes. And we thought it was wonderful. I mean, can you imagine that today? It was perfectly acceptable at that time. Tom did a wonderful job keeping anyway. Oh, another place was the Mill House. I told you my husband's keen interest was gardening. And he got friendly with Jeff Barlow. The Mill House at this time was owned by Jean and Joe Chamberlain and Christoph Bonn. They were the architects of the Barbican. And consequently, they lived in London most of the time. And they had their cousin, Jeff Barlow, and his wife living at the mill. They had their apartment there, looking after the place and the grounds. My husband got friendly with Jeff and used to help him out in the grounds. And so the owners used to come back quite regularly. And they used to give parties. We had at least 3 parties a year from there. And I remember Noel came in and he said, "Oh, we planted a lorry load of daffodils this year, me and Jeff." And they did. Can you remember the daffodils used to be all along the river? I don't know what they're like now.
They were certainly out last year.
But they used to be absolutely dense, solid, right along the riverbank. And we used to have, Jean Chamberlain was very keen on her daffodil party. When the flowers were at their maximum, you know, the beautiful, most beautiful, we had tea parties at the Mill House. It was quite, they fitted in. They were normal, natural people, and they fitted in. After they were left, it was sold to a Mr. Sharkey, an antique dealer, which I don't think his name did him much good. Oh, he was the son of Elizabeth, the sculptor. Used to do these big sculptures of animals, Elizabeth Sprott.
I know what you mean, I can't do this. I can't remember the name. I know who you mean.
Yes, he was her son. Anyway, now I think we have somebody who nobody ever sees or hears much of. And that is rather typical of what's happened in Sonning Eye. When the mill property was sold up, Sonning Eye being a desirable place, they became very desirable houses. And they became quite expensive. And wealthy people have bought them. And we've had the barn conversions, which are lovely. But it's a new community. From being all mill and farm workers, well, majority, it was now getting very mixed.
Mm.
And, well, I hardly see my neighbour, for instance, from one year to another.
No, I think everybody's somehow too busy, aren't they?
Yes, and they work away. They're travelling all the time. And they ship the children out to different schools outside the area. And it is completely different. But there's still a little centre of people who remember and feel the same. Incidentally, you have one. I can remember years ago, we used to regularly wave to the Marx family as they walked down the field.
That's right.
That doesn't happen anymore.
No, because we were told we shouldn't walk down there anymore.
You used to come down here regularly, yeah. Didn't you?
Yeah, but we're not... Well, I don't know. We were told to get off the ground, so
who told you that?
I think it was the people in that... I don't know who owned it. It was Finnimore, I think. But somebody came and really tore us off a strip, which is why we stopped doing it.
There you go, yeah. Changing times.
Yes. So what did your husband do at the mill? What was his job there?
At the mill?
Yes.
Well, they were reducing...
Hi, Doris.
Hi, Mark.
I'm just heading off, so...
bye-bye. They were reducing already. We didn't realise it, but they were cutting down and needed just about anything. They just had a... fill in and do what they could.
And was it was still a working mill at that point?
The mill,
yes.
We were there at 67. Noel went there in 67 and the mill closed in 1969. Oh, that was another thing I remember. You know the mill yard, which is such a bugbear here now with this traffic. That was owned by the mill, of course. And all the mill yard was used for was one large lorry loaded up the night before, left in the mill yard, ready for the driver to hop onto and take to its destination the next morning. Otherwise, the mill yard was empty. In fact, David learned to ride his bike there.
How did they get the... So did it just come over the bridge from the mill itself? I mean, it was in the mill yard...
It came this way.
It came this way.
Over the old iron bridge, which evidently was much stronger than the Sonning Bridge. So I've been told. I've no ways of proving it, but I understand that is something.
So did David went to the Blue Coat School. Where was the base for school if people didn't go to a private school? Where did the other school children go?
Walgrave Piggott.
They went to Walgrave Piggott, so...
Which became a comprehensive. Okay. In fact, my daughter went there. She wasn't desperately academic. And she thoroughly enjoyed herself.
How did she get there? Did you go by bus or did you drive?
She cycled for a long time. And there were buses later on, but mostly she cycled. That's why they're now after a cycle path along Charville Lane, isn't it, for those? But how many... I don't think there are many children go... Very few children go to Walgrave Piggott from Sonning now, I think. From Sonning Eye.
I think most don't. You see people, if you're driving that way, you see people from this area going towards Piggott, but I wasn't sure how far. And when you came, where did you do your shopping?
I used to have to go into Reading.
So there were...
On the bus.
So all the shops had gone from Sonning?
Oh, no, there were... Mrs. Edwards was still there, and Bert was still there as the butcher. And the thrift shop was there, the post office was there, the bank was there. But they've all gone now, haven't they? Every one of them.
And the doctor's surgery was there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yes.
And when you caught the bus, did you had to catch the bus in Sonning, or was the one that came in this direction?
We had to go to Sonning, to the... opposite the churchyard gate, you know, the foot of Sonning Lane. Mm-hmm. Used to get it there. And the buses were pretty good. They ran every hour promptly. And coming back as well, it was easy to get. The only thing you had to lug your shopping.
Could you get a bus to Woodley as well, or was it all into Reading?
No, I can't remember buses going to Reading. Of course, sometimes my husband took me when he was around, and we could use the car. I wasn't driving at that time, but he occasionally took me to Woodley and places like that.
And did people cycle a lot?
Yes, quite a, well, not a terrific lot, but some people cycled a lot.
Did David cycle to Blue Coat, or did he walk?
He's both. He did cycle. He used to wear his trousers out cycling to school.
And so did you get most of your shopping in Reading, or did you actually use the village much?
Well, both. I used to use the village shop a terrific lot, but used to get the bulk of it in Reading, in one of the supermarkets.
And you've talked about sort of local sort of celebrations in Sonningeye. How much did you have to do with the village itself for Sonning? And were they quite separate, or were there combined?
No, I had a lot to do with Sonning. As I told you, I was a member of the PTA, on the PTA committee. And for 13 years, I used to run auctions. It was good fun. We used to put slips through the doors of all over the place, the whole of Sonning and Sonningeye, then organise a group of women who'd go round at a certain date and collect the goodies. And the difficult thing was, which I managed to do, was listing it all and separating the stuff. We had bookstalls and different sections of this, for this, all in Pearson Hall. And of course Malcolm Stansfield used to be our auctioneer, very popular. And we put everything, all the categories out. I always remember we used to get wonderful book sections. And I used to put Heather Lee, who used to live at the top of Sonning Lane, and she was an Abbey school mistress. Used to put Heather in charge of the books because she knew books. But the trouble was, Heather was inclined to sit down and read the wretched things. You see her beavering away. Oh, can't leave this. And she had to go on and look through all the books in detail. Oh, and another thing, through the school, because Tom Feek and Bill Gallimore, I don't know if anybody remembers poor Bill, they came to me one evening and persuaded me, bent my arm and persuaded me to be secretary of the produce show, which was just re-emerging. There'd been no produce show for a few years. It had been held in the Pearson Hall, and it was, the conditions were too cramped, and we were after having a big marquee on the village, on the vicarage grounds. So okay, I was president, a secretary of the produce show, and that was tremendous fun. The entries were colossal. We had rows and rows of vegetables, handiwork, all sorts of different sections. It was well attended. We have a dance in the evening in the marquee, and it was really good fun.
Great fun.
What else did we do?
Did you have any of the amateur dramatics? Did you get involved with?
Not myself. No, I didn't. No, I was more interested in the real theatre. Let's get a drink.
Can I get it for you?
Order. Sorry.
When you first came to the house, what sort of condition was it in? Did you have to do a lot to it?
No, it was... But it was in pretty good condition. In fact, the mill had a maintenance man by the name of Whittingham, Wiggins or something, lived up Powder Lane. And he used to come round if anything needed doing. And it was quite clean and presentable. But thinking that I was going to be here for a few weeks, a few months breathing space, it's lasted into over 40 years. It must say something for the area.
It does, yes.